Give you a second. Go ahead and get in the book of Acts chapter 4. I've been preaching along through Acts, and I enjoy preaching in Acts. I was thinking, though, a couple things. I think when we get back to, whenever we have our first Sunday night service, what I'd like to do is have a testimony time from the people, and just people like share testimonies on like how things might have changed for you spiritually, or how you view things just since we had the COVID-19, we've been doing everything the way we've been doing it, maybe how that might have changed, give you a chance to kind of share that with everybody else. I'll tell you one thing. With COVID-19, when it all started, I ran down, I was at Walmart, and I went down the paper row, you know, and I was looking. They did have a few paper towels, and I was getting them. I don't think I've ever thought so much about paper, toilet paper in my whole life as I had to think about. You used to, you had your favorite brand. It might have been just the cheapest thing is your favorite brand, or you got the brand. And I started thinking about the names for toilet paper. I was looking at them. I don't get some of this. Now, bear with me here. Angel Soft. I'm trying to think. When I'm doing my business, I'm not thinking about an angel. I just can't help it. I'm thinking Angel Soft. You got to be on drugs to come up with these names. Y'all think about angels when you got to get toilet paper? I mean, and is an angel soft? That's another question. I'm not thinking about that. How about White Cloud? Anybody ever thought about that? You know, hunters, you guys go out in the woods and you kind of forgot to get your paper when you left, and you squat down there and you look and say, gee, I wish I had one of them White Clouds. you ever do that? I'm just thinking, where do they come up with the names for toilet paper? I said, man, alive, I never gave it a lot of thought, but when you're standing in the aisle just hoping they got some, I started thinking about it. Angel Soft. I don't know. Just food for thought. A commentary on toilet paper this morning. But anyhow, I think all those things are getting better. The economy is doing well, and we need to pray about these. We've got these protests and things going on in the nation. Certainly something that needs prayer about. I think mainly that people really need to realize that, you know, the government's not going to fix that problem. You know, that's a heart problem, and there's nothing that the government can do. It's already against the law to murder, and that law didn't work. And so, we just can't do it, do anything there other than lead people to Christ. And, they need to get saved. And so that's the main thing. So we certainly want to pray for unrest. I know, there's several police officers been killed. I think there was, if he hasn't died, there's one police officer that was shot point blank in the back of the head at one of the protests. 20-some years old, got a wife and family. He was on life support last time I heard. I don't know if he's still alive. Or not, and I think three more after that were killed. So, there's people getting killed, lives, are being taken, and so I don't think that anything else justified that either. So just needs prayer, man. We just need prayer. In Acts chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, being filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day, being examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done. by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, when we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak it at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Works That Cannot Be Denied. I appreciate we got back to having our screen using that. You know, we're still kind of dealing actually about 3 weeks, and I've been looking at the same thing, dealing with the results of the healing of the lame man. 5,000 people were just saved. The lame man was healed. Peter was able to preach, and I spoke about that last week. And then the results of that were that 5,000 men, it says men, there might have been women too and some children, but 5,000 men were saved. I mean, that was a red letter day in any kind of a meeting that you could be in for 5,000 people to be saved. Then, as always, right about the time that we get on a mountaintop experience, here comes Satan along, and opposition, discouragement, all those type things. Nothing's changed. It still happens the same way today. And so what we have in this, and here, remember, this is the early church, so we talked about that a few weeks back. We've got the first opposition to the gospel message that we organize opposition of the first gospel message. And so I want to look at that this morning, just read that to you, and just got 3 points with that. First thing we see is we see the court there. It said that Peter and John, they were brought before what amounted to be the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was a Jewish council that was made up of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they brought them before them. Also, I think the captain of the temple, the priest, was present as well. And everybody had said some of his relatives, I think, were there as well. The Sadducees denied anything. They were different from the Pharisees in that they denied anything supernatural. They didn't believe in the angels. They didn't believe in, I guess they couldn't go angels soft. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in spirits. They didn't believe in a resurrection from the dead. They were rationalists in religion at the time. And so obviously, if they didn't believe in those things, it stands that they would be in opposition or opposed to Christians. They would be at odds with Christians. You know, they just can't, there's a bumper sticker out there that says coexist, and it's got all these little different symbols on there for Christianity, Judaism, and I don't know what a lot of them are. Satanism's probably one of them, I think. They can't coexist. And now here's the reality of it. It's not that the Christians can't coexist with lost because we have to and should because we got to win them, but the world's not going to coexist with Christianity. You know, they're preaching Jesus. They had a lame man healed. Who had a problem with it? They weren't ready to coexist. They brought them up before the court. They commanded them not to preach in Jesus' name. They didn't want to coexist with them. And so it's a spiritual impossibility, and that's why we have opposition from the world. That's why we still have it today. There can't be a coexistence there, not from their side of the deal right there. And so, you know, Peter and John, they were preaching Jesus Christ. That they preached him raised from the dead. And now they had a man standing there. They had asked how that was done. They had a man standing there that was lame. The Sadducees didn't believe in spirits. They didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. Obviously, there was going to be some kind of a conflict there. And so we see one of the key points right here is in verse 8. And don't overlook this. It says in verse 8, then Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you, there's some products of being filled with the Holy Ghost. We live in a world, listen, today that's just as opposed to Christianity as that day right there. The first persecution started. Nothing's changed. They don't want, you know the routine. Like I said, they want coexistence unless, you know, it's Christianity. No other religion is attacked like Christianity. We got to get the Bibles out of schools. We got to get prayer out. But Islam's okay. These other religions, it's okay. It's Christianity. The world has a problem with it. And so if we're going to live in that world and we're going to stand against that kind of opposition, then guess what? We're going to have to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The product of that was, in Peter's case, you remember Peter, he was the one that denied the Lord three times, denied to that little maid that he even knew Jesus. He couldn't even stand. He warmed himself at the fire off at a distance. He couldn't even stand up there where Jesus was being tried, afraid to do that, and denied that he knew the Lord, that he was one of his followers. But there's some products here. It produced a clear mind. It produced a clear vision. It produced a resolute conviction. He had absolute certainty about what he was preaching about, that Jesus was the Christ. He had a strong passion. He was passionate about Jesus Christ. He had unflinching courage. Now he didn't waver. He didn't quiver. I mean, he was threatened. We read the whole story. They were threatened not to preach in Jesus' name. He basically told them, I got to do what's right in the sight of God, and preaching Jesus is right, so I'm going to go on and do it. So it was right. And so, when we think about the impression that made when he stood there and he preached and 5,000 people were healed, and now they brought him before this court, and he came before that court, and it says in verse 13, it said they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. You know, they noticed that they were different. There was something different about these men from any other average man that they had ever met before. It was something that they couldn't really explain. They just knew that they had been around Jesus, which kind of tells me they must have been around Jesus themselves at some point in time. And Jesus walked on earth, and he stood before some of these same people were on probably at his trial when Jesus was wrongly tried and accused and crucified. The same one. We know Caiaphas was there. I know that, and Annas as well, I think. And so they were there. They saw Jesus, and they said, you know what, these guys are just like him. And so that it made an impression on them. And the court realized that they were unlearned and ignorant men. That means that they were like common class people. They weren't formally educated. They knew that. They said, these guys haven't had degrees in the law or degrees in anything with the scriptures. They knew it. Not educated men. But, you know, being filled with the Holy Ghost will give us what we need. I'm not against education. The Bible tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We understand that. But I'm not against that. But listen, the Holy Spirit filling is going to give you a lot more than the books are going to give you. You know, you got to have it on top of that. You got to have both of those things right there. And we need that. It'll give us more than what we need. And so the court's conclusion was actually wrong. What they said was a wrong statement. It said that they took note that they had been with Jesus. That's past tense. That's not correct. Jesus was with them that very second. They had been with him in real life, but Jesus was still there. He was right there, and that very second, that's what the Christ life is. This is what, if we don't get nothing else straight, and I learned it over my time of being a Christian, was already heading in the right direction, and we heard Brother Lynch preach, and man, I really got a grip on that we can't do anything in our own strength, that Christ has to do it through us. And when we try to do it in our own strength, we fail. You know, preacher, man, I just can't talk to anybody about the Lord. No, but if the Lord's living in you, and if you're saved, he is, can he talk through you? Yes, he can. That's the difference right there. He can do it. I'm afraid. Can the Lord give you courage? Yeah, you know, it's him. It's the Christ life. And that's what the Christ life is all about. They were fulfilling Galatians 2:20. Crucified with Christ, yet I live, not I, but Christ that lived within me. You know, they were fulfilling that. And so it was Jesus Christ right then. They thought he was crucified and dead. No, but he was alive in the person of these men that were standing in front of this court today. So he was speaking. It was Christ himself speaking in and through these men. Then we see that was the court, and then we have the proceedings of the court. And they ask a question. The first question was, by what power or in what name have ye done this? By what power, what name? Well, Peter actually already told him. He had told him when he healed the man. And they admitted, by that question, they admitted that something had been done. That there was a healed man, there was something happened. They said by the question, by what power have you done this? Talking about the healed man, that's what they meant. So they admitted that, but they didn't want to focus on that. They saw the man standing there. They could see the light in his face. They could see the joy in his heart. They didn't have an explanation for it. And this is the thing that we got to see. The world can't deny a healed man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they can deny that there's a Jesus, and they can deny that there's a God, and they can deny there's a heaven, and they can deny there's a hell. But if we're walking in the power of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit living in us, and our lives have been transformed by the power of Jesus Christ, they can't deny that. And they can't, so that's what really the world, that's our evidence right there. And so the world can't deny the truly born-again man, the Spirit-filled man. And so the question, though, notice, the question was how. They didn't ask what. They didn't ask what happened. They could see what happened. They didn't have to ask that. But they said how. Now, that's a tactic of the world today. That's a tactic of Satan. Let's get off of what we can't deny and get on to something else. Let's get to another question that we could dispute. See, they can't say, look, there's not a man. This man here is not, he's not healed. They all have seen him for years. He'd been lame for 40 years. He'd been laying at the beautiful gate most of his life begging for money. They'd seen him. He'd probably seen every doctor that there was under the sun. He couldn't get healed. So they always saw him. They can't deny that now he's standing and his countenance has changed and he's looked. They can't deny that. And so what happens is they go to the next thing. They can say, well, how? Because, see, they can argue with that. They can say, well, listen, Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, Peter said that. Jesus Christ, in the power in his name, by the resurrection power, is how we did it. They could say, nah, it had to do something else. If they wanted to do that, they could do that if they didn't want to believe Peter. But they can't deny the healed man. And so this is what they do. They go to this, deflect from the evidence that we have. Let's go to something else. And so by what power or what name? They had told him in verse 10, they said, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And look, he had a little side lesson. Whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And so they'd already told him everything they needed to know. And listen, they got called out. Peter called him out on the crucifixion. You crucified him. You crucified him. I mean, that's a convicting word, right? I mean, is it okay to preach something that convicts you? Huh? It's biblical, right? It is biblical, right? I mean, Peter did it. Jesus did it. John did it. It's okay. I mean, he called him out on it, told him the truth. I mean, I don't think he was hating on him. He was just telling him these are the facts. That's the reason why do you preach? You preach so somebody gets saved. You preach so Christians will get right with God, right? I mean, that's the whole point. People like preaching if it don't convict them about nothing. I found that out. They like that. Peter told him already. The same thing, but they didn't want to believe it. He gave him the name first. He said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and that's important. You know, if you go back when you study Jesus, remember when they nailed that sign on Jesus on the cross? It said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It said of Nazareth right there because they didn't want to make sure Nazareth is a small town. There was only one Jesus there. There might have been another Jesus somewhere else, but there was only one Jesus in Nazareth. And they said, make sure we got the same guy. We'll nail it down to where he's from. He's from Nazareth, whom God raised from the dead. He told him that. He declared that power, the resurrection from the dead. You got to remember, half of the people he's talking to didn't believe in a resurrection from the dead. And they got scratching their head now. So he gave them the conviction whom ye crucified. You know, when they crucified Jesus, they were hoping that was the end of their trouble. You know, that's why people kill people. They just hope that ends the deal, you know? You know, the people up there in the big cities, man, they're drug dealers shooting each other every single day, dropping dead left and right. You know why they kill one drug dealer, kills another drug dealer? So he's hoping he don't have no competition from that guy. He's hoping his problem's over. They thought that we get rid of Jesus, we don't have to listen to his name. We don't have to hear from him. Guess what happened? God raised him from the dead. That shows you again that you can't thwart God's plans, right? And so they were hoped they were done with him. And Peter quoted Psalm 118:2. And Jesus also quoted that same psalm right there and talking about that stone, that cornerstone. He said, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, the Jews, which has become the head of the corner, that rejected stone. And he pointed out, Peter said, listen, there's salvation in none other. There's nobody else, no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Listen, you can't get saved by your good works. You can't get saved by your baptism. You can't get saved by your church membership. There's nowhere in the Bible. None of that's taught. It said you got to be, there's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. We have to turn to Jesus Christ. I mean, faith's involved. You can't just quote his name or say his name. I'm not putting faith in his name necessarily. I'm putting faith in him. But, you know, that's the name. That's the person that we have to put our faith in. So it's only faith in Jesus Christ. So that's how the proceedings went along that day. Well, they had a conference. They said, well, let's all, you guys, they put Peter and John out there a little ways, and they said, hey, we gotta have a little talk about this. And look what it said in verse 15, we can go over again. It said, they commanded them to go aside out of the council. They conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them. I think I'd just start listening to them is what I do. It says, manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Well, you can deny it, but everybody can see the evidence. So, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. So they couldn't deny the works of Christ. But there's the evidence. And you know, if you've ever dealt with somebody that's lost, and even if you have evidence, like somebody might even ask a question, well, how, you know, what happened to you? You're different. You're not the same person I used to know. And you start telling them why. You know, you get to the how. They have already admitted that something's different. Same thing. Now you get to the how, and they just won't believe it. They just won't believe it, no matter, listen, here's the thing about the gospel. It's believable. It's not that you can't. It's people won't. They just won't. And it's hard-headedness. They won't do it. And so when they couldn't deny it, and this is the mindset. They didn't want others to hear about it. It reminds me of a lot of what's going on today. I'm telling you, I'm fine. Half of the stuff that comes on Facebook isn't true. Everything on CNN is not true. I'm telling you the truth. There's nothing on that station that's true. I go over and watch it sometime for entertainment. And if there's a good thing happened, this healed guy, and it's done in Jesus' name, I'm thinking, isn't this who you want to get the lame people to, at least in the sick, you know, the people that need to be saved? It's a good thing. They couldn't deny it. But they said, we don't want nobody else to hear about it. Let's don't let nobody hear about it. We don't want you guys to teach. Let's keep it down so it doesn't spread any further, this good news. Isn't that crazy? That people don't want people to hear good news? That's why some of those news stations, all they spread is bad news. They got nothing good to say about nothing. There's certain little particular people, I could name names. They don't show up when nothing good for nothing good or to spread any good. They always show up when there's a problem and they want to stir in the mess that smells bad enough already. Huh? That's what they want to do. These people, they didn't want nobody to know. That's crazy. So they threatened them. They said, all right, we're commanding you not to speak. And look how they said this. I don't know if you notice it. In verse 17, speak in this name. They didn't even say his name. They said, we don't want you to speak in this name. And they wouldn't even say it. And I'll tell you what, there's a trend culturally of not saying the name of Jesus. And I've talked to our choir about it and all that. Even in Christian songs, there's a trend. I went 8 songs in a row one time on a Christian station, Spirit FM. 8 songs in a row, and not a song had the name of Jesus in it. 8 songs. I mean, he, him, anybody could fill in the blank there, right? I mean, we know because we're assuming we know, but why? Why not say it? Why not say it? And there's a trend there, and sometimes even people pray. People pray, well, Lord, in your name we pray. Well, what's his name? How about in Jesus' name we pray? You know, say the name. And we got to say it. So we see the trend. But then think about this. What's the threat to a man that's filled with the Holy Ghost? What's the threat to a man that said against preaching to a man that's filled with the Holy Ghost? It's nothing. There's no threat. And Peter's answer. This is the key thing here. If you don't learn anything else, get this. And it's a question for today in verse 19. Whether it be right in the sight of God. I just got that underlined. Whether it be right in the sight of God. That's it. That's the key. What's right in the sight of God? That's all that matters. You know, if you guided your life by that, like, okay, I'm thinking about doing this, but I'm not real sure about it, whatever that this may be. Well, let me ask yourself, is this right in the sight of God? Thinking about doing that, is it right in the sight of God? That's all that matters. See, your life, it would clarify so many problems. It would clear so many things up in your life and lives of people around you if you would say, you know what, it's not right in the sight of God, therefore, it doesn't matter. I don't, you know, why let the world out here, the lost world, dictate to you what you're going to do, when you're going to do it, how you're going to do it? Why let the world dictate that, set that schedule?
You know, is it right in the sight of God?
That's the question for us. And we know. Most of us know. I bet you there's probably just very few of you in here. Maybe, you know, if you hadn't been saved long or something, I could come up with some obscure thing that you might not be sure about. But there's probably nothing for most of us in here that I'm going to say, do you know this is wrong right here? And you'd go, wow, I didn't know that. No. You'd say, you know, you're right. I know. I know because of the Word of God, what the Word of God says. You know. It's right in the sight. Is it right in the sight of God? Boy, that would solve our problem. So if you know, if you don't learn anything else out of the message today, keep thinking about this. Just that'll be your, you know, what would Jesus do? You remember those things? Well, we ought to know what Jesus would do because he's already dwelling in your heart. But if you could ask the question this way, is it right in the sight of God? Is it right? And so what Peter goes on, his answer was, he said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, or to listen to you more than God. You know, James talks about, in James 3:15, he talks about worldly wisdom as being earthly, sensual, devilish. And then he talks about the wisdom of God as being pure, peaceable, gentle, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Without hypocrisy. So, boy, you know, this would certainly use a lot more of that wisdom right now in the world today, couldn't we? So much difference. So it's our responsibility as a church or as saved people to find men laying at the beautiful gate, excluded from worship, and put them on their feet and make them worshipers. I tell you, sometimes yesterday I had one of this dumbest moments. Sherry and I talked about this. You know, here we were down there at the flea market, and you know, sometimes the light bulb, man, I tell you what, you know, you just, where your mind's at. So we're at the flea market, and people come up to where I had my stuff set up and leave and come and go, and you get sidetracked. Well, these two old ladies was across the way, and they had their mask on, and both of them had canes, but one of them was doing a lot worse than the other one. And I saw her move her head. She had a wig on. That thing had slid a little bit. And she was pretty old, and she's barely going. So Sherry picked up on it first, and she looked over. She goes, hey. She goes, can you come over here if you want to? You can come over here and sit under our, we had one of them tent things, them tops, and we had a couple chairs. And the older one that wasn't doing too good said, yeah, you know, I'd like to do that. And the other lady said, okay, well, I'll come back here and get you. And I told her, I said, yeah, we're going to be here for an hour. She can sit right here. So we helped her on in there and got her in the chair. And, you know, and I was just kind of looking at her. And Sherry said, hey, do you want a water? I got a water. She said, yeah, I'd like a water. So Sherry went around there and get her water. I'd say she's in her 80s somewhere. And so she said, well, she pulled her mask down. She had a mask on. She said, I got pancreatic cancer. Which y'all know, if you got pancreatic cancer, it ain't a good deal. And I said, wow, you know. And I said, well, how long have you had it? She said, I've had it a right good while. And I could tell she looked a little jaundiced. You know how your skin gets and stuff. She looked a little bit jaundiced and stuff. And the light bulb went on. I said, ooh. Maybe I said, I'm going to talk to her about the Lord, you know. So she said, what she said was, she said, I went down to the doctor, and they said that the chemo, I said, you've been taking chemo. I knew she had a wig on. She said, yeah. She goes, I said, not doing much good. She said, no. She wasn't real talkative. She goes, no, it's not doing real good. She goes, I went down to the doctor, and he said it wasn't doing too much good. He said, but I'll give you one more treatment if you want. And she said, I told him, no, it's not doing no good. Don't give it to me. And she said, I'm just going to go till my time comes. Time comes for me to go. And I said, well, let me ask you something. I said, do you know Jesus as your Savior? You know, have you trusted him for your salvation? And she said, yep, I have. And I said, well, that's good. And I wasn't sure that she had, so I kind of just went over a few things, asking for forgiveness and, you know, looking at somebody that's, time is limited, right? So, you know, it all gets over with, and we packed our rags up and went on home. And Sherry got to talking. She said, you know, I was around there on the other side of the truck getting the water, and I heard you say to her, asking her about, or she was telling you that she had cancer. And she said, we need to pray with this lady. And she goes, I got around there, and then what happened? See, somebody would come up to the booth, and you kind of, you know, yeah, how you doing? Tell them something, and then they would leave. And again, I said, how stupid is that? I mean, the light bulb came on to talk to her about the Lord. We got a lady dying of pancreatic cancer, and I'm a pastor, and I didn't even pray with the lady. And I thought, man, that bugs me even now. But you know, I did pray. I prayed for her last night, and I prayed for, I don't even know her name, but God knows her name. But I thought, why is our brain sometimes we're not, you know, we don't realize our ambassadorship to represent Christ all the time. Even me, you know. Now, we don't realize, you know, we're not thinking about that. We get so many irons in the fire, that too many things going on. And I wish I just had said, well, let me pray with you right there, you know, and sitting in that chair. We were sitting under the tent, had time to do it. But got to the salvation, but didn't get to the prayer. But, you know, that's our responsibility, is to find this person that's lame, spiritually or physically lame, and you know, take them by the hand and lead them, get them on their feet somehow, even if it's just spiritually, get them on their feet. In closing, I want to say, you know, the secret is this power of the Holy Spirit. And the church of the world has no argument, and the church has no, the church itself has no argument unless she has a healed man. We don't have an argument for the world unless we have a healed man. And the church that doesn't have a healed man has no argument for its Christianity. If we're not helping somebody, if we're not pointing somebody to Christ, if we're not, how do we say that we're Christians if we're not leading, or at least attempting to lead somebody else to Christ? How do we say that? We don't have an argument for that if we don't. You know, we don't, this is one thing I've been learning, and there's a difference, and you have to see the difference. You know, I used to think, this is where I failed in my early Christianity. I thought that, okay, I knew what the Bible says, I can read. I had a pretty good idea that before I even knew what the Bible said, that a whole lot of what I was doing wasn't right in the sight of God. I knew that without the Bible, right? And so I used to think when I first got saved, you know what, if I quit doing these things, I'll become holy. It's the other way around. You got to become holy, and those things just fall away. Now, it's kind of going on at the same time. I understand that. How do you become holy? Well, you learn the Word of God. You believe the Word of God. You obey the Word of God. You know, you trust in God for your strength, your power, being asking to be filled with the Spirit. As the Spirit of God, we start being led, and we keep asking ourselves this question, is it right in the sight of God? And if we started doing what was right in the sight of the God, guess what? We will become holy. That, because now what happened is holiness comes in, and you'll start finding things fall away from your life that you thought would never fall away, or you didn't even think they needed to fall away. There'll be attitudes and actions. Some actions will cease and some will begin that you didn't even think about, you know, because when you first get saved, you think about the big things, you know. I got to quit lying. I got to quit my vices. I got to get rid of that. I got to, you know, you don't start, when you start becoming, Christ starts living his life in you, and you start living your life according to, is it right in the sight of God, then these other things just start falling away. That's how you become holy. And that's the difference. I'm going to ask you today, are you a healed man today? And I mean healed, spiritually healed. You know, you're really saved. Sometimes you ask people that they're saved, and I wasn't sure about this lady. She said, yeah, you know, she kind of. But I went ahead and gave her some stuff. I gave her some more stuff because I wasn't sure about it. And, you know, you need to know that. Have you been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ? You know, and have you called upon him and confessed that you're a sinner and trusted him to save you? You know, when we do that, when we really do it, God gives us his Holy Spirit. And now we have the power, you know, to overcome anything, overcome the world. And you can do that. You know, you can do that. You can ask Christ to come into your life and save you and be sure you're saved. Listen, what's the evidence? What's the evidence of your salvation? Is your life being lived according to, is it right in the sight of God? That would be the evidence. Let's all stand. Paul's going to come lead us in a prayer, or lead us in a song.
Thank you, Pastor. Hymn 270, Just As I Am, hymn number 270.
parking lot, church. We done forgot how to come down the altar and pray. Sorry about the heat. I'll get to call the air conditioning guy and see if they can come up here and see what's wrong with this one on this side. This other one's running itself to death, but it didn't keep it up. But could have went ahead and had it outside. But anyway, good that we got inside, break the ice. I'll tell you what, I don't think a virus could have survived in here today. I think it killed it if there was one in here. Amen. It's too hot for it. But we'll, Wednesday night. Now listen, Wednesday night, I'm going to do my Wednesday night service in here. If you want to come out, that's great. We can pray in a little bit and meet.